Redeem the Time. St. Helena, California, October 29th, 1903. I have a message for our ministering brethren and for our medical missionary workers. More than 40 years ago, the Lord gave us special light on health reform. In 1865, the little book, How to Live, was published. I ask, how many have been walking in the light then given? Are there not many who have refused to walk in harmony with the counsels of God? We have not made advancement proportionate to the light we have received. God's people have failed to fulfill the commission given by Jesus to his disciples in all ages. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. What a work might have been accomplished had God's people in faith consecrated themselves wholly to his service and carried out the instruction given by Christ. They would themselves have been sanctified by a belief of the truth, and a quick work would have been accomplished in the earth. Had we done faithfully the work as God desired us to do it, we should ere now have entered our eternal home. But we have been standing still, hindering the work of God by our unbelief. Many have become careless and self-confident. Many have turned unto fables and are working in opposition to the truth. We need now to seek earnestly the answer to the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We may find the answer in the words, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. This do, and thou shalt live. Luke 10, verse 25, 27, 28. To love God supremely, and our neighbor as ourselves, this is the fulfilling of the law. Upon these two great principles hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22, verse 40. Well does Satan understand this, and he works with all his power to prevent the manifestation of the divine love in the human heart. Health and strength of body and spirit are dependent upon a belief of the truth as it is in Jesus. To as many as believe in him, God gives power to become his sons. Nature. An imperfect revelation of God. The existence of a personal God, the unity of Christ with his Father, lies at the foundation of all true science. From nature we can gain only an imperfect idea of the greatness and majesty of God. We see the working of his power and his wisdom, but he himself is beyond our comprehension. The ocean, the cataract, the lofty, rugged mountains reveal but imperfectly his handiwork. Satan has introduced confusion and deformity into the creation of God. Something more than nature is needed to reveal the character of the Father. Christ came to this earth to reveal what finite minds can comprehend of the glory of God. He came to unite divinity and humanity, that through him, with character made perfect, human beings might at last behold God in the fullness of his glory. Through the merits of the sacrifice he has made, we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. The bright beams of divinity pass through Christ to his followers. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. Faith essential to salvation. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We must do as he bids us in his word and depend wholly upon him. We are to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, verse 40. In their unbelief, the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Verses 41, 42. Jesus answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verses 43, 44. Notwithstanding the mighty works that they had seen Jesus perform, the Jews did not believe his words. And if the miracles of Christ did not overcome the unbelief of the people in his day, shall we expect to escape criticism and even contempt from those who are not sanctified by belief of the truth? To every one in his church, the Lord has given a decided work. Let each act his part faithfully, seeking to exert an influence that will draw others to Christ. Young men should be associated in the work of God with those of experience who will kindly and affectionately help them to prepare for the work to which the Lord may call them. Resist the enemy. I must bear a decided message to our brethren. Let there be no compromise with evil. Meet boldly the dangerous influences that arise. Do not fear for the results of resisting the powers of the enemy. In these days, many deceptions are being taught as truth. Some of our brethren have taught views which we cannot endorse. Fanciful ideas, strained and peculiar interpretations of the Scripture are coming in. Some of these teachings may seem to be but jots and tittles now, but they will grow and become snares to the inexperienced. We have a decided work to do. Let not the enemy cause us to swerve from the proclamation of the definite truth for this time and turn our attention to fanciful ideas. Unless we are individually wide awake to discern the workings of the Holy Spirit, we shall certainly stumble and fall into Satan's pitfalls of unbelief. I call upon our brethren to watch as faithful shepherds and guardians over the inexperienced who are exposed to the wiles of seductive influences. Keep a continual lookout for rocks and quicksands that threaten to destroy faith in the messages that God has given for us at this time. Watch for souls as they that must give account. As soldiers of Christ, we are called upon to wage a warfare in a country claimed by the prince of the power of the air. Therefore, all must be constantly on guard against the snares that the enemy is setting for our feet. We shall meet deceptive influences on every side, but we need not be overcome by them. Let us prayerfully seek to restore those who have been led into error. Considering our own weakness, we should seek to bind up and heal rather than to destroy. With voices softened and subdued by the Spirit of God, let us endeavor to save those who are under the deceptive spell of the enemy. Sometimes Satan clothes his presentations with flattery, speaking soft and pleasing words. At other times, he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We must not remain in ignorance of his devices if we desire successfully to resist him. We may not know the weak points of our character, but Satan knows them. Through prayer and searching of the Scriptures, we may detect his wiles. We must watch carefully and be fortified with, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. We need to search the Scriptures daily, that we may know the way of the Lord, and that we be not deceived by religious fallacies. The world is full of false theories and seductive spiritualistic ideas, which tend to destroy clear spiritual perception and to lead away from truth and holiness. Especially at this time do we need to heed the warning, Let no man deceive you with vain words. Ephesians 5, verse 6. We must be careful lest we misinterpret the Scriptures. The plain teachings of the Word of God are not to be so spiritualized that the reality is lost sight of. Do not overstrain the meaning of sentences in the Bible in an effort to bring forth something odd in order to please the fancy. Take the Scriptures as they read. Avoid idle speculation concerning what will be in the kingdom of heaven. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 13. One or two pieces of armor will not be sufficient. We must be clad with the whole gospel armor.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Verses 14 to 20, 23, 24. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself to us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, that it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no adulterer, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 10. Our children to be guarded. We are not to place ourselves in the society of the pleasure-loving and worldly, who have no love for the truth. Such association will paralyze the spiritual perceptions. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. Inexperienced youth are not to be encouraged to choose the society of the impenitent, who are not worked by the Spirit of God. Satan will ensnare those who have not a continual realization of the fact that they are the Lord's property. Like Abraham, parents are to command their children after them to keep the ways of the Lord, and to do justice and judgment. This is a science that many need to learn. Parents, awake to your responsibilities. You must be wide awake if you would be safe guardians for your family. So far as lies in your power, seek to guard them from satanic influences. You pray, lead us not into temptation. Matthew 6, verse 13. then do not consent for your children to be placed where they will meet unnecessary temptation. Do not send them away to schools where they will be associated with influences that will be as tares sown in the field of their heart. In the home school, during their early years, train and discipline your children in the fear of God, and then be careful lest you place them where the religious impressions they have received will be effaced, and the love of God taken out of their hearts. Let no inducement of high wages or of apparently great educational advantages lead you to send your children away from your influence to places where they will be exposed to great temptations. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, verse 36, 37. As servants of our absent Lord, we are entrusted with the charge over his household affairs. We know not when he will return, but he has said, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Luke 12, verse 40. We must be constantly prepared, lest coming suddenly he find us sleeping. Mark 13, verse 36. Christ is soon to come to take to himself his waiting people. But when he comes, he will not find them united with his enemies, living in conformity to the habits and customs of the world. They will be clothed with the robe of his righteousness.
For their sakes, Christ says, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 19 to 23. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Verses 24 to 26.